It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Representative democracy was not meant to be a blood sport. It was meant to be a way for people to have their voices heard. In fact, the House of Representatives was expressly set up to be the voice of the people on a national level. That was before it cost multiple millions of dollars to win a congressional race or even a state or local race. So in this era of big money politics, do people feel that their representatives represent them? Do you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call to talk to us about this. Ideas at WPR.org is the email that you can use, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Bridget Bowden is sitting here with me. She is the special projects reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She's the project manager for this Beyond the Ballot series. Good to have you back, Bridget.
Thanks for having me.
And we welcome Lily Gorin back to the program. Lily is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here this morning.
So, Bridget, we're diving into this question for Beyond the Ballot that has fascinated me since I've seen these questions. Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? It's one of the six questions that we're asking Wisconsinites as we head towards these midterm elections. Remind us on how these questions developed and what Beyond the Ballot is.
Right. So Beyond the Ballot is a project that WPR's news department is taking on this year. And we are going to be out interviewing 500 people throughout the year leading up to the fall elections. And in those interviews, we'll be asking everybody the exact same questions. And one of them is this question you've just said. And in order to develop the questions, including this one, we sat down as a group, all of our reporters, and we made a big list of questions that we thought might be interesting, and we kind of narrowed them down. And we wanted questions that people would be able to take any way they wanted to. So there's really no right or wrong answer to any of these questions, and people have a lot of different ways to answer this question specifically.
This question specifically, I think this is interesting. So, and are all the reporters around the state going and asking, or are you trekking all around the state, or is it kind of both?
It's all of us, including me.
Okay. And given the answers so far, what are people saying to this question?
So I like to divide the answers to this question into three loose categories. Mm-hmm. So there's the yeses. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do feel represented. There's the noes. No, I don't feel represented. And then there's the largest category, which I call kinda. Some people think that their local representatives know what they want and represent them that way. But the higher up the chain you go, maybe they lose touch. Or some people feel like, you know, there are some people who look like me, believe what I believe, and some people who don't.
And the people who don't look like them or believe what they believe don't necessarily, they don't think they represent them.
In some cases,
there's
yes.
There's that divide. Okay. Lily, given what Bridget is saying about what people are, how people are answering that question, does this surprise you? Lily? Oh, we seem to have lost our Skype connection to Lily. So so it's not this cut and dried, the answers that people are giving you to these questions. How many people do you have so far that you've talked to?
We are almost at 250 interviews, so we're almost at the halfway
point. Almost at the halfway point. And what is the plan? You're going to get to 500 by when?
So by the election, we'll be at 500. And we are finding people in a variety of ways. So this summer especially, we've been going to large events. Mm-hmm. Actually, this past weekend, I went to the Greene County Fair.
Cool.
Down in Monroe. And I also went to, in Madison, the Urban League's Unity Picnic that they have each year. So we're finding people at events, and we're also seeking out groups and organizations that can connect us with people in communities that we don't hear from very often.
Okay, so we're going to play a couple of clips here. You shared some audio from people who answered this question that we're focusing on today, and I'm going to say the question again. It is, do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Let's first turn to Anne-Marie Ryan Wanzek. She's a licensed midwife from Appleton.
Right, so she says that she feels reflected some of the time.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. Some of my state representatives reflect me, And I feel like they reflect the community that I am personally part of. I think that on a larger level or a national level, even looking at some of our state representatives in this region, they don't reflect me. They may reflect the community that I live in, but I oftentimes feel like the community I live in doesn't necessarily reflect me either. So that's an interesting spot to be in.
That is an interesting spot to be in. Like, that's not something that I would have thought of in looking at the question that me and the community I live in might be separate entities.
Right. That's why we kind of made the question a two-parter, is because, you know, there are people's beliefs, and then there's, you know, general, the way that a community leans, and those can often be different.
That's good. Okay, so Anne-Marie notes that while her elected officials may not reflect her, they do reflect the community. Do we have Lily back? We do have Lily back. Lily, I don't know if you heard that clip, but one of the things we were just talking about is that people often will say, I my elected officials may reflect me or may not reflect me, but they may or may not reflect my community, which is different from how I see the world. So do you see that often? Do you see that people sort of feel disconnected with from their community, and that may make them feel disconnected from their elected officials?
Well, I mean, I think this goes to some of the discussion that we've been seeing also with regard to the way that districts are shaped, particularly the federal district. And so, you know, you hear the term gerrymandering a lot, and it may be in some cases a district that is, quote, gerrymandered, but it also may be that the district is, you know, a majority partisan in one direction, or you know, has a majority interest in a particular area, if it's a rural district versus a suburban or an urban district. And so in that regard, the people who are in the, quote, minority in the district, be it a partisan or economic or racial minority in the district, may not feel that they're represented because they are not, you know, they don't have as much clout, they don't have as much pull with the elected representative.
They're cracked. I think the term is that they're cracked. They live in a district that is cracked. Would that be?
That is one of the political science terms that I talk about with my students.
Cracked and packed. I've learned a lot about this in the last few years.
Exactly. But it's, you know, it is about, you know, where an individual also sees themselves and who they are, what their economic interests are, what their, you know, how they see themselves in connection to the rest of the community in their district, and thus whether they feel represented by either their state, local, or national representative.
So I want to take a step back here for a minute, Lily. I want to talk about how voter representation actually works. What is proportional representation?
Well, proportional is generally speaking, not what we have in the United States, but it is based on the idea that, you know, you sort of have proportions of a body, a Congress or a parliament or a state house, that is allocated then based on, you know, which proportion of the vote your party or your group gets.
So it's generally, that's what parliamentary representation is. Like, that's what they have in Canada and in England.
That tends to be, except those are more traditionally, quote, Westminster style, which tends to only have three or four maybe vocal parties, whereas if you look at a coalition governments in places like, say, Germany or Israel, where you have to actually pull together a coalition on a regular basis in order to establish a government, which does sometimes happen in Westminster systems, which are, again, also parliamentary systems, but that in order for Angela Merkel to have a functioning government, she needs to pull in a number of different parties to compose her ruling majority in Germany, as opposed to, you know, sort of having the Labour Party win a majority in Westminster in the UK.
Okay, so how is it different here? And what are there advantages to the way we do it here as opposed to the way they do it in, say, Germany or UK?
Well, again, we have, you know, we sort of have this situation where you win a majority and you win the seat. And so either the Democrats have a majority in the House or the state House or the Republicans do. And generally speaking, we don't have to pull together any form of a coalition per se in order to have that majority.
We're going to get back to this in a moment because I want to dig into this a little bit. We're talking to WPR's Bridget Bowden and political scientist Lily Gorin about how people feel about their elected officials. We are taking your calls for this Beyond the Ballot question, and we've got calls lined up already. We're going to get to them as soon as we get back from this break. It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? That's the question in WPR's Beyond the Ballot series. Bridget Bowden is the grand master of the series, running around the state, recording people's answers to six key questions intended to get behind the relationship between voters and voting. We're also joined today by Lily Gorin, who teaches political science at Carroll University and writes a lot of books on the interplay between politics and pop culture. This totally fascinates me. It is my hobby. We're asking today's question of you, our listeners. Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Also, if you had to pick an issue for your elected officials to specifically address for your community, what would it be? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email, and you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, Lily, before we get to calls, I want to finish the conversation we were having before the break, which is that you were saying that, you know, in our system, it's pretty much a winner take all system. You don't have to reach out across the aisle and form coalitions. There are people who have called into this show recently, actually, who have said, we need a parliamentary system. We need to change our system. Do you think that one system is better than the other?
I think that they work in different ways. And, you know, parliamentary system is also a system that, generally speaking, has the executive and the legislative combined, because the prime minister comes out of the legislative body. Whereas in our system, we have a distinct separation of powers where the executive is fully distinct from the legislative branch. And those are constitutional, structural, and functional distinction.
So in a parliamentary system like the Westminster system in Canada or England or the German Israel system, the head of state actually comes from the party. So there's less of a chance
that it comes from the party and from the parliament.
So there's maybe less of a chance for a head of state that doesn't agree with his party. I don't know who I'm talking about here, to become the president in opposition to many people in his party.
Yeah, pretty much. That the party that has a governing coalition, either it's a party or a coalition of parties, will then nominate or approve of the prime minister or the chancellor, whatever the title is, who then becomes essentially the executive. But that person has come out of both the party and also the parliament.
Okay, so we can do a whole hour. We can do a whole hour on this. Yeah, so I'm gonna go on. I just find this fascinating. We've got lots of phone calls here. Chris from Adams, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm somebody who's real politically active on a variety of issues, and I regularly contact everybody from my local officials to people in the Senate and House of Representatives. And I also, on occasion, if somebody from another state is on a chairmanship of a committee that's handling something that I'm interested in, I'll call their office. Hmm. With one exception, over a period of 35 years, I have not gotten a response from anybody.
Wow.
And you write them letters, they don't respond. My Wisconsin assembly person, who is running for reelection, in fact, she sent me, so people can figure out who this is, she sent me some vote for me stuff in the mail. Never answers her telephone, never calls you back when you leave a message or an email, and she expects me to vote for her, and people do. This is kind of business 101. Mm-hmm. And I have testified before the legislature repeatedly, gone to the expense of photocopying a bunch of information and given it to the committee chairs and got no response from them either. And when you have a situation where nobody in government is responsive to you, that's creating a situation where people are just stopping voting. I mean, they just say, well, you know, if people are going to be unresponsive. I mean, it makes me really angry that more people, there was a major audit committee hearing in Madison that I went to, and I was the only citizen in the state of Wisconsin that was upset enough to testify. The only person. It's just gotten to the point where people are becoming cynical, and it's a very dangerous thing. I have written letters to people, and they don't respond. I've called committee chairs in the legislature and said, put me in your computer so that you can get a hold of me when this committee is meeting, so that I know when the meeting is. It's not my responsibility to keep track of all of that stuff.
Right. Okay, right? Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to get to Lily on this. Do you hear this a lot from people who say, I contact my legislators, and they don't respond?
I have heard a lot of it, particularly recently. There's been a bit of an uptick in people contacting legislators.
Right.
We can chart and most offices, Senate offices, House offices, Assembly offices, will often take note of how many people have called, how many people have emailed, how many people have stopped by, to also indicate to the elected representative that this is the way public opinion in our district or our state is falling on these particular issues. But these are also our representatives, and, you know, when I do talk to my students about this, and I say they are supposed to respond to you because you are the person that they are representing,
mm-hmm.
and if they don't, then that's really problematic because their responsibility is to you, the citizen.
We are talking to Lily Gorin. She is a political scientist at Carroll University, and Bridget Bowden, who is running this Beyond the Ballot series that we're doing here at WPR. We're taking your calls on this, too. Do you feel represented by the people who purport to represent you? Do they take your phone calls? 800-642-1234. Gary from Ripon, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I would answer your question by saying that, no, I feel like I'm almost never represented by anybody that's in elected office.
Anybody? Like even your mayor?
Well, pretty much.
Okay.
The problem is if these people are going to represent me, then the people that disagree with me on basically everything, on every single point, aren't going to be represented.
True. So what's the solution there?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, so Lily, what's the solution there?
Well, I mean, that's the difficulty in our system, is that the majority and the minority, either majority partisan or minority partisan, are now sort of in such entrenched positions that ideologically also consistent positions, more so than in the past, that if you are represented by somebody who is on the other side, generally speaking, you do not feel at all represented. The founders, Madison in particular, who wrote a lot about this, you know, this sort of concept of representation, thought that because of the large republic and because of different interests in different places, that there would be, to some degree, more scrambling of different issues being represented by different representatives. But because of this very strong partisanship that we're experiencing in our most contemporary period, that scrambling of, you know, somebody in Wisconsin has much different interests than somebody, say, in Florida because of, like, weather conditions and crops, that doesn't necessarily, you know, take hold because of the partisan distinctions that we are now in the midst of.
Very interesting. So I want to talk about, does this affect voter turnout when people feel like they aren't being represented?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the previous caller's point, yeah.
Yes. Okay. We are talking about, does your representative represent you? And we're taking your calls. Susan from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hi. Yes, I've voted every election since I was able to vote, and I'm 68 years old. And I believe that the whole thing with the Foxconn project is just an abomination. In the first place, we live on the Great Lakes, which is such a blessing. And Lake Michigan is incredibly beautiful in so many ways. And I feel like Foxconn is one of the worst ideas that we are facing. Okay. And yet people think that there's going to be many jobs. I don't believe that. And I'll take my comments off the
Thank you very much, Susan. So Foxconn is the issue of the day, Lily, but there are a lot of people who think that there are issues that are being forced down their throats.
Yeah, and that, again, this is the sort of position that we're now in with regard to, as I said in response to the previous caller, this high partisanship, very intense partisanship, that that if you are not in Wisconsin, if you're not, you know, enthusiastic about aspects of the Walker administration's policies, that you may feel, as the previous caller did, that, you know, nobody's listening to you. And that is, that again also leads to some of the cynicism and the feeling that you are shut out from the Democratic conversation and the sort of making of policy.
Right. We're going to hear some other voices that Bridget collected on this. Let's next turn to who are we going to next, Bridget?
So we're going to hear from Ebony Owens. Ebony lives in Milwaukee, and she actually owns a small business. So when we asked her if she feels reflected by her elected officials, here's what she said.
I don't feel like they understand the everyday life we live, the struggles of everyday living. I just really don't feel a lot of them that we vote into office gets it. And that's just how I can put it. I just don't think they get it. I don't think all, but a lot, they just don't get it. If you're not here in this community every day, if you're not a small business owner trying to step up or a homeowner or something like that, you're not going to understand it if you don't come down here to where we are.
So, Lily, I've had conversations, a lot of conversations with people like that who say my elected officials just don't get it. And then I talk to the elected officials on the city council or whatever it is who are like, they don't understand all of the things that I have to deal with. I have to come to agreement with people who may disagree with us or have some other issue that they want to put on the table. What's the disconnect here?
Well, I mean, I think some of it sometimes is the disconnect between what somebody's doing on the city level or the most local level, where there often is more clear connections between the constituents and what we also see at the national level, where if you look at the United States Congress, the U.S. Senate, how many millionaires and so forth are in those offices, and also how long they hold power. And I think sometimes it's a question of both at state, local, and national level, if people have been in office for an extended period of time, which is, again, our choice at elections. Do we re-elect somebody or do we put somebody new in office? And if we re-elect them and then we re-elect them seven or eight more times,
right,
you know, they've been there for 15 or 20 years, and you know, do we think that they are still listening to us?
That is, you keep saying things that I keep writing down for future shows. Like, that can be in term limits. That could be an hour or two. So we'll move on. We'll move on from there. Bridget, let's hear another clip that you got. Tell us about Luke Peterson.
So Luke lives in Chippewa Falls, and he falls into that category of sometimes feeling represented and sometimes not. So he says he feels most represented by his local officials.
Mm. I think if you get way down there, yeah, because I've spoke with them, and they seem to be not so partisan at the really local level. But once you get up there a little bit, probably at the state level, that's when they start getting pretty partisan, and they listen to their party more than the people.
They listen to their party more than the people. Has that always been the case, Lily?
I don't think it's always been the case. But as I said before, we are in a period of very high partisanship that seems to sort of drive and color so much of the sort of decision-making and policy advocacy and implementation, particularly at the state and national level, that you do sort of, it seems to color everything.
Mm.
I mean, I regularly in my class have the mayor of Waukesha come in and talk to us. I've had three different Waukesha mayors over time now come into my classroom. You know, they've been he's.
Right.
You know, the city hall's down the street from Carroll University. I send a nice email. Can you come in and talk about, like, water policy? And they are all gracious, and they come and they talk to the students. You know, I have the mayor in the class. It's a lot harder for me potentially to get a senator or even a representative to come to my class than it is to get the mayor of Waukesha.
I'm going to follow up on that in a minute, though, but we're taking calls here, 800-642-1234. Do you feel represented by your representatives? Jay from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. One of the previous callers talked about feeling that the representative did not represent their interests. And one of your panelists said that that's kind of the nature of our system, that if you're representing one constituent that's got different beliefs than another, that's kind of the way it is. But it's my understanding that there are some election processes like instant runoff voting and ranked voting that kind of force representatives to reach beyond their base in order to win the election. And I just wanted to know what your panelists know about those kinds of systems and what experience we have with them in Wisconsin and the U.S. and things like that.
We actually did a show on ranked choice voting and different voting systems, so we'll get you that link so you can hear a whole hour of that. But Lily, do these kinds of new voting possibilities make it so that we do have to, our politicians do have to listen to more than just their base?
Yeah, if we were to go to instant voting, instant runoff voting, or ranked voting, then basically you're going to have to make a case to people to at least put you second or third. So they can't walk. They theoretically can't necessarily just vote for one person then, or they can, but their vote may immediately get tossed out. So they want to consider, you know, why they might vote for you, and so that would potentially push politicians to reach at least a little bit more outside of the sort of here are the people that I'm going to appeal to, and I don't necessarily have to pay attention to the other people who aren't going to vote for me.
We are taking your phone calls today, 800-642-1234. The phones, Bridget, opened up as soon as we ask this question. Do you feel represented by your representatives?
Yes.
Clearly, this is a question that people want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question that immediately I saw when I saw the Beyond the Ballot questions. And people are excited about answering this question, yes?
Yes, people have a lot of things to say and a lot of different things to say in regards to this question. So it's really cool.
We are going to come back with your phone calls and some clips from Bridget and some more conversation with Lily Gorin in a moment. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Like Hamlet, we are reflecting this morning on a question. Tis this: do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Most people who answered this question for our Beyond the Ballot series have given a Hamlet-like answer. Well, maybe. It depends on the circumstance. I can't really decide. So what is your answer to that question? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet WPR Mornings. Eugene from Viola, welcome to the program.
Good morning. anytime I want information from Senator Jennifer Schilling's office, she is her office is very, very good. They will get back to me all the time. And I sit two blocks outside of her district.
Oh.
The Richland-Vernon County line goes right straight through Biola. And I sit on the Richland County side. So rather than go to Mark Line out of Spring Green, I go to Jennifer Schilling's office. And I always get what I want. She is excellent.
Okay, good to know. I mean, you can't vote for her. And she still helps you, and you still go to her. Eugene? Okay, so that is good to know, and I think it's incumbent upon the people who work for an elected official to be able to get back to people, even if they don't live in the district. Bridget, we are listening to clips that you have collected. Tell me about Roger Corger.
So Roger Corger falls into this category we've been discussing, which is people who sometimes feel represented and sometimes
like Hamlet.
So here's Roger.
Yes, the local ones are fine with me. Well, you have an easier input. You can see like the mayor of La Crosse walking down the street, walk up to him and talk to him, or just walk in the city hall and stuff like that. They're easy to approach and talk friendly to them about things, but on the national level, it's hard.
So the local people, Lily, they walk down the street, they eat at the same restaurants as their constituents, they have a connection with their constituents. If those local people are going to then to run for a statewide office, say state senate or Congress, are they going to sort of perforce lose that connection they have with the people that they represent?
They may or may not, and this also becomes the difficulty if you're running for a state house seat, right? And then you're going to spend some time in Madison, so you won't be around
right
much. And if you run for the United States Senate, obviously you're going to be in Washington D.C. for stretches of time, and again, that's this representative system is you have to go someplace else to represent the people whom you're elected to represent, as opposed to, the local mayor, the local city hall, or common council or whatever representatives who are right there, and they don't really have to go very far, if at all, to do their job as your representative. And so the physical distance of having to travel from Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. twice a week or, whatever to represent you is also going to take you away from the state because you have to go and be in the body that you're elected to. But then it's also incumbent on those elected representatives to have staff in the state who's also going to, be responsive to the constituents. And they have, they get a budget from the United States Congress to have multiple offices that are staffed inside the state so that you and I can go, to Tammy Baldwin's office or Ron Johnson's office and say, I need help from the senator. I want to talk to the senator about this. Please know that I have this opinion about this policy mm-hmm. that he or she is voting on. And if you can't get through or if nobody, takes that information from you, then you also feel like not only are they away from you, but their staff, their offices that are set up to serve us in that regard are not doing their job.
Staff is important. Bridget, let's look at this theme that is coming out here, trusting the local politician, but not the ones at the state or national level. You've had other people talk to you about this.
Yeah, quite a few people, including Tyler Buss from Green Bay. He's saying pretty much the exact same thing.
Maybe more at a local level, but if you get more to state level and federal level, no. They're kind of screwing up everything.
Okay. Do you feel that you are represented by the people who represent you in government, whether it be local, state, or federal government? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ed from West Allis, welcome to the program.
First of all, my issue or two issues are right to work and the unbelievable union busting of the United States Supreme Court in Janusz versus AFSCME. We don't have a democracy in this country. It's a corpocracy. Workers have seen their factories demolished and the jobs move overseas. Our neighborhoods, traditional neighborhoods, have been destroyed. There's not one working class person in the state legislature in Wisconsin, and this filthy money from the Koch brothers.
Okay, so that's an interesting point that I want to throw to Lily here as we're getting close on time. Money in politics, Lily. His point is that there's not anybody who has come from the working class who sits in the state house right now because it just costs too much, and you have to make compromise maybe too much to get there.
Yeah, this is the devil's bargain where we are in the United States with regard to how you have to raise so much money to get elected, and that we do now have really free-flowing dollars coming from all over the place on both sides, and that it's an issue with regard to, you know, who does an elected official then represent?
Mm-hmm.
The people in the district or the state or the locality or even the whole country if you're talking about the presidency, or is it about the, you know, the folks who gave the largest check? And that is really problematic in terms of divided loyalties. I think that there is a lot to that, and this is, and I don't know the solution to this, so I think it's extremely vexing, and that we've seen also just a rise in it of late since the Citizens United decision in particular.
Indeed, and there's another show we could do. The effects of the Citizens United decision. If you had the solution to
right.
it, then you would be queen of the world. I mean, you know, nobody has the solution to this at this point. Bob from Stevens Point, welcome to the program.
My solution is vote. You cannot expect to fill up the Capitol grounds with Madison students and professors and teachers traveling all over the state and expecting that to affect the rest of the state. Walker did the right thing, in my view. It could have gone the other way. But he got it through in spite of the demonstration. Trump gets in office, and every week for about 3 weeks, we have demonstrations in Madison. That is not a fair representation of the people in the state or the country.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. So he's kind of talking about here this what Nixon called the silent majority. People make noise, but they don't necessarily vote in the same way, or the populace doesn't necessarily vote in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of sociological literature and political science literature on sometimes the connection and sometimes the disconnection between public demonstration, like the women's marches that we've seen of late, and then does that have an impact on people getting elected to office? And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. One of the interesting aspects of this 2018 election cycle that I'm monitoring because of my research is how many women have been sort of activated to run for office up and down the ballots across the country. And we may see quite a few women elected where they hadn't been before. And that may be a result of sort of public activism. But the issue with public activism is, as the caller said, you know, you have to do more than demonstrate. You also then have to, you know, become involved, vote, and get other people to vote, too.
We are talking, you just heard Lily Gorin. She is a professor at Carroll University in Waukesha. We are also talking to Bridget Bowden. Bridget, we've got a time to play, I think, one more clip if you want to choose the next one. We've gotten a lot of maybe they do, maybe they don't, but there are a couple of people who have said Yes or no?
Right. So I'll skip to my final clip, okay, which is Zach Young from Fredonia. And he falls in the no category.
Okay.
So he says he doesn't feel represented by any elected official.
No way. I don't think no Republicans, way. Democrats, really any elected officials represent the people that they're elected by because of the money that's in politics. Those people aren't being put up there because of they have similar issues to us. They're up in, you know, the front runners are up there because they have the money to campaign and they have the money to put ads and they have the money for their faces to be shown. And so those are the people we vote for because those are the people we see. And I don't think those are the people we vote for because they're the ones that actually are for the issues that we're facing.
So money in politics, Lily, this seems to be the theme that runs through this. The money is corrupting the political system. We can't change it at this point. This is a United States Supreme Court decision. How do you get around it?
That I don't know.
Okay. I was hoping that maybe you could give us some sort of going out of the show, hope for the future of our democracy.
I think that the comment from the caller before was, you know, go out and vote. And that's really the issue with regard to sort of balancing the large sums of money that are put into the system by individuals or corporations to sway the electorate is, you know, go out and vote the way you want to vote. But make sure that you vote, you register to vote, and so forth. And that's another issue is the sort of getting to the ballot.
Okay, so I've got a whole list of things that I want to talk to you about on future shows.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lily Gorin. She's a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Bridget Bowden is special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio, and she is the project manager of Beyond the Ballot. For more information about Beyond the Ballot or to get involved, you can visit wpr.org/ballot. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show.